This is Sunday morning, August the 26th, 2018. The title of this is You Are Always on His Mind. You are always on His mind. Matthew 7. Reminds me of the Willie Nelson song. You're always on my mind. Well, the Lord had it before Willie did. Matthew 7:7. Keep on asking, it will be given you. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking, receives. He who keeps on seeking, finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. Or what man is there of you, if his son asked him for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent? If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? In the context here, when it talks about asking, it really means calling for. Romans 4 talks about God is the God that calls things that be not as though they were. So that means when we are asking, we've asked God for something and we're thanking Him that it is done. And as I talked about earlier, we're always on His mind. He's always ever present for the needs of His children. He's already given them benefits. We've already looked at that. And so you're never far from Him. In fact, He's in you. See, He's in you all the time, leading you all the time. How do you love your kids? How much do you want to give to them? Naturally speaking, as parents, how much more does God? Our Heavenly Father wants us to have more than we can ask or think. That's quite a lot, isn't it? All right, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who, by the power that is at work within us, is able to do superabundantly, far over and above all that we ask or think, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, out all generations, forever and ever, amen. So God has all kinds of things that He has planned for us and He wants us to have. John 10:10 says He came, Jesus came, that we might have life and have that life more abundantly. How do we attain to all of this abundant living? How do we attain it? God says He has it, more than we can ask or think. And if we come to Him, we can expect to receive. John 6 says, whoever comes to me, I in no wise will cast out. Whoever comes to me, I won't cast out. All right, Luke 18. You have to remember God's kingdom is different from the world's kingdom. The way the world does things is different from the way God does things. The way we receive things from God is we are going to have to walk in the ways of God. We can't live according to the world and act like the world acts and expect to receive the things that God has given us more than we can ask or think. Okay, Luke 17 or 18, verse 18. A certain ruler asked Him, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God only. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not witness falsely. Honor your father and mother. This is self-effort. God never meant for the Israelites to be under the law. This was their idea. They were used to Pharaoh. They thought that they could get whatever they wanted by their own merit. They're still that way today. But God's way was the way of Abraham. Abraham walked by faith. He's the father of our faith. And he replied, "All these I've kept from my youth." When Jesus heard it, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell everything that you have and divide among the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." So the Lord's telling this guy that's rich is to get rid of all of his riches and follow him. This is how he could have the true riches. But when he heard this, he became distressed and very sorrowful, for he was rich, exceedingly so. Jesus, observing him, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "Well, what is possible with men is possible with God." So the kingdom of God is saying, let go of all the things that have your life entangled with care. That's basically what he was saying. If he was rich, you could pretty well rest assured that he was occupied about his money and his investments and all of these things. And Jesus was telling him, you're going to have to let go of the care. Because in the kingdom of God, this is a carefree walk. Care is a snare. All right. Not everyone is willing to give up the lower life to attain the higher life. This is the lower life. Go back a few pages to chapter 12, 16. Then he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was fertile and yielded plentifully, and he considered and debated within himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to gather together my harvest.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my storehouses and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain or produce and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself merrily.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night they will demand your soul of you, and all the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is with the one who continues to lay up and hoard possessions for himself and is not rich to God.'" So we see this guy here. He's worked his whole life, and he just decided, well, I'm just going to take it easy. You know, when you follow the Lord, he'll let you get so much, and a lot of times, then he'll require it. He doesn't want you putting your stock in the possessions that you have. Now, will he supply your need? Absolutely. But this man, he relied on his riches for his future. And it sounds like to me he put all his aim into making money to stockpile for himself until he could just retire and enjoy. But he wasn't rich towards God. It's kind of like in Ecclesiastes, it talks about casting your bread upon the water. And it says, if you observe the clouds, you won't sow. Okay, that's the lower life. You must give up the low life for the higher life. You can't hold on to the lower life and receive the higher life. Jesus doesn't say, give it away so you will have less. You give it away, and then what happens? Luke 6:38. First scripture. Most people don't get this. Every church I've ever been to, I don't think any of them have a clue about it. Actually, the ones I've been to haven't been that many, but give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will they pour into the bosom. For with the measure you deal out, it would be measured back to you. So you set the kingdom laws in operation. When you let go of this, it's not wrong to have riches, but when the Lord requires it, you let it go. More than likely, you may have some storehouses, but he may require it and clean it out. This is the way the kingdom operates. Okay, Acts 4, continue to look at the higher life, 32. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was his own. But everything they had was in common and for the use of all. So what did they pray? They said, Lord, whatever we have is yours. You have checking privileges with me. Whatever you require of me, I'll write the check out or whatever you need me to do. And with great strength and ability and power, the apostles delivered their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace rested richly upon them all. Nor was there, the power was there. Look at these attitudes. The power showed up. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses proceeded to sell them. And one by one they brought them out, received from the sales, and laid it at the feet of the apostles. The distribution was made according as anyone had need. This is how the church doesn't have any poor. Everyone was taken care of, even those that gave. When we start doing things God's way, isn't it amazing how he begins to show up? We take the gospel. The power shows up to lay hands on the sick and they recover. We start praying for our nation. The Lord starts leading us in our praying. He gets interested in our praying. I said, Lord, I prayed a lot of years and it's like you didn't... Never heard of one. Well, he wasn't interested. You weren't praying his way, probably. Probably begging for your own this and your own that and bawling and squalling. But when you get in line with his way, start praying for your leaders. Start taking the gospel. When you start doing his business, seeking first the kingdom of God, then he shows up. He goes, oh, finally, one of them's doing something. Okay, 5, Acts 5:11, or 1, 5:1. This is what happened. All this goodness was going on. But, all this goodness was going on, and then comes a but. A certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. With his wife's knowledge and connivance, he kept back and wrongfully appropriated some of the proceeds, bringing only a part and putting it at the feet of the apostles. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you should lie to and attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit and should withdraw secretly and appropriate to your own use part of the price of for the sale of the land? As long as it remained unsold, was it not still your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal and under your control? Why then is that you have proposed and purposed in your heart to do this thing? You've not simply lied to men, but to God. Upon hearing these words, Ananias fell down and died in great dread, and terror took possession of all who heard of it. The young men arose and wrapped up and carried it out and buried it. And after an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, but having heard of what had happened, and Peter said to her, tell me, did you sell the land for so much? Yes, she said, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how could you two have agreed and conspired together to try to deceive the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And instantly she fell down at his feet and died, and the young men entering found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her with her husband. This is that sword that you see, the two-edged sword of glory. Judgment on one side of it, you know, God's glory on one side, his power showing up to supernaturally provide and do these things. But on the other side of it, when God was moving in their midst, here comes these people, lying, Comey here, lying wire, doing what they knew better. It was judged. judged. When the power shows up, judgment goes with it. He's a holy God. He's going to expose the darkness in the midst of it. God is the blesser, not the curser. Galatians 3:13 says we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We're joint heirs with Abraham. You know, Abe, he was given the higher life too. But he had a struggle for 25 years because he just kept letting the things of the flesh get in the way. But you know what was extremely stood out about Abraham was even when he got into trouble with Lot, that miserable brat Lot, because of the strife, he wanted to send Lot away. He told Lot, well, I'll give you the land. Well, Lot chose the best. He chose the best. He could have said, that's my best. I'm not giving that to you. Anyway, he chose the best. And as soon as he chose the best, God reinforced his covenant with Abraham and told him, look, all you can see I give to you. Whatever he thought he had lost and given up, God gave it back abundantly. Because he was willing. Even if he was taken advantage of. And he was. I remember this thing about Brother Hagin. People would think he was weak. But he would not, even if people did him wrong, he wouldn't get back at them. He wouldn't revile them. He was that type of guy. And you see what kind of ministry he had. And the walk of faith. Exemplary. That he walked. Abe knew where his wealth came from when he had to go get Lot out of the mess that he got himself in. And he took all, the raiding party came in and took Abraham's family and everything, and his nephew Lot. When the king of Salem came out, he offered Abraham money and things, and he said, no, I don't want anybody to ever say that anybody but God made me rich. He wouldn't take it. He took some money, or he took the food to feed the men, and that's all. He said, I don't want your money. He was going to... Look at that heart. Even if they're taken advantage of and someone does you wrong, God sees that. He's the one that gives more than we can ask or think. Remember that. There are no shortages with him. People from time to time are going to do wrong. And they may not do what they're supposed to do. But God will always make it up to you if you'll stay on the right side of things. Always. He was not a self-made man. He was a God-made man. He knew where his source was, and he didn't go after the world. The kingdom of God says, sell all you have and give to the poor. Then you'll have riches in heaven. An unlimited supply that is not subject to the world's ups and downs. See, as Christians, we can't love money. Matthew 6 says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is whatever is trusted in other than God. Okay, we can't love money. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root to all evil. Well, we see that in our world with the human trafficking, selling human body parts, Planned Parenthood, selling baby parts. You know what? It's such a travesty. The men that uncovered the lies and the things they were doing are the ones that are in prison. God will see to those things, those injustices, and he will exonerate them. I believe that. These are people that have uncovered the truth and risked their very own lives to do so. God will honor that. I believe that. Okay, let God take over your finances. Serve God, not mammon. What is mammon? Whatever is trusted in other than God. You can't serve them both, it says. Can't serve both. You're figuring out how in the world you're going to do it. That's mammon. That's the way we were raised. But we're coming out. You know, I was thinking about how the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and probably most of them, they'd been there 420 years, I think it was. A lot of them, they didn't know anything else. And I heard someone give reverence to the black community is still in slavery to the plantation owners. But the farce is we're all enslaved to those plantation owners, the elite, with the Federal Reserve and their private banks and taking everything and doing the wrong thing. We're coming out of Egypt literally and spiritually. That's what's happening here. So I mean, we're going to have a world like they had when they were going into Canaan. They had a hard time adapting. They were so used to the bondage, they couldn't grasp the goodness of God. They were used to being fed. See, they're on a welfare program. Sounds just like today. But you know what? The devil has nothing new. He did it to them then, and he's done it to our culture. But we're coming out. Freedom. A lot of people don't know how to activate in the kingdom of God. Okay, he wants you to be rich, but he wants to take care of you, not you take care of yourself. The world system is not God's way. You're always on his mind to give you the kingdom. This is Luke 12:32. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Keep fear out, and self-care is fear. Self-care is fear. He roars around like the devil roars around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Withstand him. Be firm in faith. Don't let him. Isaiah 49 says he has a tattoo of you on the palm of his hand. In fact, God's wallet has a picture of you in it. He probably takes it out and says, son, look at, aren't they something? That's how God sees you. Like a parent carries around your picture in their wallet, you're always on his mind. The world's way, work hard and long and save all you can. And others say, sit on the can and never share it with anybody. There's the world's way. Oh, we can't. We're on a fixed income and we're retired now. No wonder they die. You lose your focus, you lose your purpose. Well, if you lose your focus and purpose, you don't have any reason to even live. The kingdom way, give all you can, led of the Lord. Watch God multiply it without any toil. Without any toil. Did you get that? Okay, we're going to look at that scripture, Deuteronomy 8. The system and the worker bee. I heard something that I was going to write it down because it was a YouTube video, but it was just so good as to what they were saying about this mentality of the toiling that mankind is under. God never meant for us to be under that toil. Never. Deuteronomy 8:17. If you say in your minds and hearts, these nations are greater than we are, how can we dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but remember earnestly what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. The great trials which your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord's bringing us out of toil. Sweat, doing it ourselves. So shall the Lord your God do to all the people of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left and hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not dread them, for the Lord your God is among you and mighty and terrible. And the Lord your God will clear out those nations before you little by little. You may not consume them quickly, lest the beast of the field increase among you. This is what he was trying to do with the children of Israel. Okay, let's look over to 17:8. And beware lest you say in your mind and heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. But you shall earnestly remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. What did they do in the desert to deserve anything? They came out laden with silver and gold. They were rejuvenated. They didn't do anything. And if you forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Like the nations which the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. It's time to build God's work here. It's time. It's time to let go of the, I do it myself. Okay, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Now, Amplified adds this, and I like it. It says, neither does toiling increase it. In other words, he doesn't need your help. He just needs you to listen to him and follow him. No sorrow or no toil. Ecclesiastes says, cast your bed upon the waters. Then after many days, it'll come back in on every wave. Okay, Haggai chapter 1 talks about those who look to their own stuff, not to the Lord's. Verse 1. In the second year of Darius, king of Persia, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by means of Haggai the prophet in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt, although Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. Now we got Cyrus Trump in the White House. It's cleaning house. He's bringing the money back, setting his people free, the church free from the 501c3 and the Federal Reserve Corporation system, bringing us out of a corporation and all of that bondage. But this group, after 18 years, Trump did that, or Trump's going to do that for us, but Cyrus did that. Restored all the gold that was in the temple so they could go in and do it. What was the problem? 18 years. 18 years had passed, and they still hadn't obeyed the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt, although Cyrus ordered it done 18 years before. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins. What were they doing? They were building their own houses, setting up their own retirement funds, doing their own thing, establishing their lives after their exile. And they didn't take care of God's house. They didn't put him first. They didn't realize, well, who got you out of exile? God. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You've sown much, but you've reaped little. This system is not made to get you ahead. It is, I don't care how much you stockpile. It could be like 2008, which was another one of those events that they staged to take all the money and confiscate property, scorched earth. See, people's 401ks went, they lost, probably some lost millions of dollars. I know we lost money. You've sown much, but you've reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. He who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. You cannot get ahead in this system. It is not God's system. A renegade spirit resides over this type of system. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared. Look at your life. Have you got ahead? Have you attained more than you can ask or think? Go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You could say, start listening to me. Let me lead your finances. Let me show you what to do and when to do it. You looked for much harvest, and behold, it came to little. And even when you brought that home, it blew away. Even we know about how cotton and the wool is. It's the world system. God's. You may start there a while, but then you start. Then it gets up to there. You can't hardly even think about how good God is and what he'll do if we stick with it. You brought that home. I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies waste, while you yourselves run each man to his own house, eager to build and adorn it. They weren't seeking first the kingdom. Therefore, the heavens above you for your sake withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its produce. And I have called for a drought upon the land, and the hill country upon the grain, the fresh wine, the oil upon that, what the ground brings forth, upon men and cattle, and upon all the wearisome toil of men's hands. Men that are walking by this system, they'll be like the man that's got his barns, and they're sitting on their fannies, and they're enjoying life, and the next night, the Green Ripper showed up at his door. And then who's was all the stuff he worked all that toil to get? Some robber come in and got it. Satan stole it. See, the Lord has a way, and the system has a way. Neither will the two ever meet. And those who teach it both, shame on you. Anti-God, anti-Christ. I'm telling you about the prophet. They usually come against the leaders of their day because of their traditions that nullify the word of God. People don't like it. They don't understand it. But God's ways are not man's ways and never will be. The longest day we live, it will never work together. Ooh. It's time to build the Lord God's work in the earth, not our own empires. The last day, church. I can't wait till I am able to affect a lot of people with a lot of money, because the Lord is wanting to motivate his body to get up and build his house. Not sit on their fannies, pad their pockets, have their vacation home, have their 401ks. Now, if you do are honoring the Lord, he'll probably give you that. But the only thing on your mind is, what can I do for you today, Lord? That's what I said. When we get interested in his business, he gets interested in ours. Most people come to church so the preacher will give them something to help them out of the sorry state of life that they're in. And that's the only reason they come. And if they fail to do so, well, I ain't going back there. They ain't doing nothing for me. Can you see how the church is exactly the opposite of what it should be? We should be saying, we got a full supply, come in here. Or we go out there. Your money is for doing what the master requires, not to take care of you and yours. I remember the day when I said, all these things are great, but when are we going to start helping others with it? You remember that day? We were sitting in a restaurant, and I think we'd just been to the Harley shop, and Danny was looking at a new motorcycle, and I just looked at him and I said, when are we going to start taking this money and helping others with it? Well, now I can safely say we're fixing to give away car number 6. The Lord is allowing us to do things and to sow things that we never thought we'd be able to do. This is the most blessed I've ever been. And when we do it, it's like our money stack. Well, the Lord will build it back up again. Sometimes he'll clean it out. But it always fills back up. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's the most joyous thing that we've ever done. I'll be glad when we're able to do houses. Or I don't know what. Only the Lord knows what he wants us to do. But what has he done? He's caused us to enlarge our capacity inside. He's becoming bigger on the inside of us. When you get in that mode of thinking, look what happens. Amos 9, this will be my last scripture. I have a couple of Psalms I want to share, but this will be the last scripture. Amos chapter 9. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring back the exiles of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon the their land, and they shall no more be torn up out of their land which I gave them, says the Lord of God, the Lord God. When we get in that mode, when we get him, his kingdom going first, he'll take care of you. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay.
What verse was that?
It's Amos 9. 13 through 15.